Hello.
Hello.
How are you, dear friend?
I'm not too bad. Not too bad at all. Still coughing, but
I think I've caught your cough.
what, across Zoom?
Through Zoom, yeah. Where there's blame, there's a claim, I'm sure.
I'm sure, yeah. How have you been?
True.
How's your week been?
It's been good, thank you. It's been busy, but it's been all right. And I made my favorite dinner this evening,
Which
which
was?
I think which was I'm gonna have to look up the proper title of it. It is Thai peanut noodles, which is from Nora Cooks. And it's incredibly simple, which is one of the reasons why I like it, but it's really, really nice. But I always do too much and then eat too much, and then it gives me a food coma. So if I just like fall asleep halfway through recording, don't take it personally. It's just because my body is digesting the too much food that I've just eaten.
Fair enough. Well, okay. I'll try and hold thought as best I can.
It's lovely. I'll tell you what, I'll tag Nora in the social post that we do for this episode,
Yeah, why not?
and then you can check the website.
So, this week we are going across the Atlantic again.
Yes, this is exciting.
It's like we have listeners worldwide, but now we have guests worldwide as well. And guests plural, because we have had American guests on. And yeah, it's amazing.
It is very exciting. So tell us about our guest, Wes. What can you tell us? Because
So,
this is another one of your
I
guests.
know, craziness. Who knew? Who knew I could get those on here? I don't even think this one's a vegan runner. So, today's guest is Lauren. She is an Instagram influencer called Vegan Yoga Mama. She does lots of content creating. She's a vegan activist, massive vegan activist. Her news feed is just crazy. It's mad. And I love it. I love reading all the stuff she puts on there. She's crazy in a really, really good way. So yeah,
Awesome.
it's going to be a fun chat. I think.
Yeah, and I agree. And I also think, seeing as you did so well with the first guest that you arranged last in our previous
I've
episode,
set the bar high,
yeah,
have
you've set a very high bar. So Lauren is gonna have to be a she's gonna have to be a great guest.
Push the boat out.
Exactly.
I mean, in all fairness, I can't keep up with the yoga she does on her news reels, on her reels, whatever you want to call
Oh
them.
really?
Yeah, because she's
Yeah.
like, it's a time lapse. I'm like,
Oh God.
yeah,
And you can't
can't keep.
pause a reel either, can you?
No. Yeah. Generally starts with a headstand as well. I'm too tall.
Oh
I'm too tall for a headstand. Doesn't happen.
starts with a headstand, that's just mean.
Yeah. Yeah. And I could barely walk through a door, let alone doing it upside down.
Yes, no, that's true. You're a bit too tall for that. But yeah, you'd be standing on the ceiling, wouldn't you? You'd be like that Lionel Richie song.
Just like that Lionel Richie song. Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm a bit worried where my legs would end up, even if I did it against the wall.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh no, it was dancing on the ceiling, wasn't
Was Dance on the
Lionel
Ceiling.
Richie.
Was it Blancmange did Living on the Ceiling?
Oh, okay.
Think so.
Don't know. Who did Living in a Box?
Living in a Box.
Yeah. Magic.
Love it. Bit of 80s music referencing.
That's one for the teenagers.
Yeah.
It's a fine because we don't have any teenagers who listen, so
Do we not? But do we
no
know that
problem.
demographic?
Yeah.
Oh, bugger. We'd be grateful if just one person listened. That's we weren't expecting that, were we, to be fair?
No, I'd be grateful if you listened.
I know. I know. I press record and I save it, and you do everything
That's true.
else.
No, you do the Twitter side of it. I don't do any of
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, I guess we best crack on.
Yeah, this is exciting.
Yep.
Looking
I
forward
shall.
to it.
Yeah, be good.
Before we go,
You're gonna say
come and find
that
us.
you're gonna say you love me.
Yeah, okay. I love you, mate.
Love you too.
No, what I was going to say, if you want to get involved, if you've got any feedback for us, if you want to tell us how great we are, then find us on social media or drop us an email.
If you want to drop us an email, just type in howivegampodcast@gmail.com.
And
We'd
if
like
you
to
want to
hear
tell us, yeah, and if you want to tell us how shit we are, then send that to we don't give a toss at
from
gmail.com. All right.
Yes. Cool. Here we go. So yeah, it's cold in England. It's rubbish, and all that.
It's
But you know,
rubbish.
yeah,
Yeah,
up
here
here.
too. We had a snow day yesterday, so.
Well, I was just going to say it is cold here, but it's not cold enough because it doesn't snow. It just rains. And my kids are desperate for it to snow. I think just because they get a day off school. But it, I love the snow. It's probably one of my favorite types of weather. A snow
Yeah,
day would be great.
it's so pretty. I grew up in Miami, so like seeing it and having the
Oh,
seasons
wow.
change in general, it's like such a treat. Like I love that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool. Brilliant. In
So
Miami,
you
it's just boiling hot and then like a 5 minute thunderstorm and then it's boiling hot again.
Yes, have you been there?
Yeah. Well, Orlando. We
Okay.
did
Yeah,
the
yeah.
traditional trip to Disney World.
Disney. Okay.
Yeah.
God, how long ago was that now? Where's seven?
We worked it out the other day.
7 years? 6 years?
Jesse's eight, so
Good
7 years, something like that.
grief.
Yeah. And it was hot
Time
all the time, and
flies.
then it chucked it down with rain on the last night, which was fun.
Yes.
It did.
Sometimes it cools
Blimey,
it
that
off a
is.
little bit for like
Yeah.
a few minutes.
But you're in where? Kansas, you said.
I'm in Kansas now. Yeah, like my house is about an hour away from the centermost point of the continental United States.
Wow, so
Yeah, I'm like
you missed.
literally like middle America.
So if you fancy going to the beach, that's a long old journey.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that I don't like the beach. I'm just okay. Even when I lived there, I was kind of like not going that much. I mean, it's beautiful and I love, like, I grew up with water, like seeing the water. My family is fishermen in it, which is really interesting because I'm like a
Yeah.
huge animal rights activist and like my dad and brother like literally make a living doing that. So it's,
Oh,
I don't go home very often.
wow. That must be
Yeah,
awkward.
so that's a an interesting little difference in our
Yeah.
I don't know if it's generations. Like my brothers are much older and also they're boys and I just wasn't into like, you know, hooking and fishing and hunting and shooting as a kid. You know, that wasn't my cup of tea, if you will. So I wasn't in on that with the
Oh,
gang. I
yeah.
didn't get that. But yeah, it's an interesting thing when we visit. Even
I'm
just
sure.
like
Yeah.
with family that eats meat, I'm sure, if I don't know if you have that, but like even just sitting at a table together is just strange. So
Yeah.
You
and
always
I
know there's a
just
conversation waiting to be had,
yeah,
isn't
and
there?
like, well, and like it's just, I mean, even before going, we have little kids, so like the last time we visited family before going, it was like, what's everybody gonna eat? And are we, do you need, what do you need us to get? And it like made people nervous. And I was like, you know, we're gonna be okay, we can go to the grocery store, like we'll be fine. And it like makes other people more uncomfortable. And it like, I'm like, if you have to ask me about that, like maybe you should ask yourself instead. Like I, you know, I'm not saying I'm coming to visit you. Please cater to me. Like you're doing that because you're uncomfortable and you should reflect on that instead of trying to put your discomfort onto me and make it my responsibility because I don't want to take it and I won't because it's your cognitive dissonance and your willful ignorance, you know, like, and so yeah, so, and also we, you know, have, we have a little one. He's kind of in that transition right now where he's like sometimes jumps out of the crib. So like putting him in a pack and play or like a foreign bed in like our parents' house where everything is made out of glass, it's just like, ah, you know. So I'm like, let's put off home visits for a little bit right now.
Yeah.
They come to visit us and we're so lucky, and it's easier for them, you know, they're retired and you know, like they can do that. So we have people visit and then we host and like we pick where we eat and we pick, you know, what's cooked and, you know, stuff like that. So it makes it a little easier
to yes.
be around carnists when you have to. Because I'm not currently accepting any new friends that aren't vegan. So only the ones I'm related to and obligated to. It's just, yeah.
I like that. Not accepting new friends that aren't vegan. I like that. Like yeah. We'll be civil to each other, but I'm only going to spend time with you if you're vegan. I like that.
Yeah. I'm not going to force my lifestyle on you or anything. I might suggest that you think critically about what you're saying is your personal choice and, you know, with my face in general, but, but you know, like I just, you know, have like a couple of like relationships that are longstanding that like, you know, are with people that aren't vegan. But like, aside from that, like, I don't know how to relate to people that do that anymore. I don't want to, I don't know how to, it's not like, it's a big deal to me. It's a moral issue. So,
yeah, play.
And every day that passes, it just gets like stranger and stranger to me, you know,
yes.
like to see yeah. it continue
yeah.
everywhere all the time, you know.
So your Instagram feed, when I started following it, I think it's incredible because I can't do a reel. I've said this to Matthew. I can't do a reel to save my life.
Oh, we'll have to teach you.
And you do about 20 a day, and I'm like,
no.
And they're
20.
Like,
no, those are stories.
Oh, stories. Okay, stories. And there's like so much information you put on there, and I'm like, literally, I don't know how you have the time because I'd just be having a headache.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. I mean, the first couple, like, and it's funny, like, I was looking at some of the reels that I did when I first started doing them a couple of years ago, and I've come a long way. You know, I mean, I think it's like with anything that you want to, like, do, you just kind of have to, like, get through it. That's the only way. That's the only way, you know, like, out is through. So one day I was just like, all right, I got to figure this out because this is how you get the reach and this is what the algorithm wants. And so, and now the other thing that's cool is like these collaborations where you're like mixing with other creators and getting a further reach, you know, like, and like, even you can do simple things. Like yesterday I just like sat in one and just like looked, made funny faces next to what somebody else was saying, like a reaction to them. And it had over 2,000 views this morning. So you just like, I mean, amazing. You just never know. People are like, yeah, sure, I'm still gonna buy it though, of course, but like, but those people don't realize like they're helping us spread the message
the
algorithm. I'm like, so now my new thing is like, oh, okay, thank you so much for coming by to help me spread the vegan message with your, you know, selfishness, like, get out of here, what are you doing? Like, you know, like, okay, I'm still gonna molest kids, you know, but like, whatever, like, that's what you sound like to me, you know, like when you're doing that, when you're saying that. Because I don't really see any difference. You know, there's a victim that can't consent, that can feel, that's vulnerable, and you're taking advantage of them for sensory pleasure. Like, and then you're like, oh, you know, oh, there's another shooting, and this is such a shame. Like,
yeah,
come have dinner,
prayers,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's eat, let's make a prayer over this baby that was bolt gunned in the head for dinner. You know, it's just like, I can't. I feel like I'm like living a nightmare or something, and I'm like, or you know, like, or on a train like headed for like a wall on fire or something. People are like, you're crazy, but it's what's happening.
It's modern.
It is. So I try to stay sane every day, and I think like part of like my reels and my content, like, I think it's like a quick, easy way to inform people, which is what I'm trying to do, to provide like something they don't already have, like to kind of be like, this is why you should be vegan. And then here's how, like, it's really easy. Here's a recipe. Like, you know, don't be an idiot. Like, why are you choosing to eat a body? And I'm really trying to make you like the message just like always about the animals. Like, even if it's a food, like, it's like vegan for the animals. Like, why are you choosing to eat bodies and breast milk and ovulations? Like, what's the matter with you? Like, that's what I'm putting in the captions. Yeah. So, and that's the other thing. Like, I'm not, you know, like, going to sugarcoat it for people. Like, they want to call it meat and eggs and dairy, but I'm going to call it what it is. And they should be uncomfortable with it because it's gross. And, you know, and I think, like, just really recognizing the social justice movement part of it, like, we don't change anything if we don't get uncomfortable ever. And that's, you know, like, we've accepted this. Everybody can just do whatever they want in society. Yeah. And there's, like, apathy and selfishness and greed. And it goes against everything that everybody claims to care about.
That's it. And calling it meat and dairy, or meat especially, it takes away, and the things like, you know, beef and pork, it takes away from actually what it is. If you said, here's your cow burger.
Yeah.
Here's your pig sausage.
I say flesh.
Oh, flesh is a good one.
I say
one. Yeah,
cow
that's a good
flesh.
One.
I say rotting cow flesh or decomposing. And seriously, because I mean, if you think, like, I'll see roadkill and I'll be like, that is the same thing as a steak. Like, there's no difference.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it's just the same. Like, where's the science coming out every day in favor of continuing to do this? Like, I don't see it anywhere, you know. I'm also a mental health therapist, and so I really understand and recognize the connection between mental, physical health and well-being and gut connection, and like, putting decomposing flesh in your stomach is not how you make a healthy microbiome. You know, you have to have lots of different variety of plants and nuts and grains and seeds, and the science is coming out every day over and over again, like, reiterating this, like, in by the dozens. And there's nothing to the contrary, except for, like, Joe Rogan and Ted Nugent being like, if you want to kill animals, then, like, be a vegan because of crop deaths, you know. And
I've seen that loads of times recently. It really seems like people have just suddenly got this thing now, just like this, that's their go-to. Oh, yeah, but what about all the animals that get killed when you're harvesting crops?
What do they think that they're eating are being fed? You know, like, even if you could take all of the food that vegans eat and combine it together, and our crop deaths would still be less than, like, the like, tiniest one of theirs. Yeah, and the other thing is, like, to me, that's like saying that, like, taking your car and going for a drive and accidentally hitting a bug with your windshield is the same as intentionally running over a dog with your car. Like, that's what you're saying. It's the same thing. That's the comparison. And it's, you know, and it's valid to make that, you know, like, that's what you're saying. You're saying that I might kill, like, a rodent in the field, which is terrible, and I don't want to, but, like, being alive, I'm going to displace life. I might run over an ant picking my son up from school. Should I never drive my house again? You know, like, it just it doesn't make sense.
It's crazy.
So it's not the same as mowing my neighbor down with my car, which is, you know.
Depends how much you like your neighbor.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm usually against needless violence, but, you know.
Tell us about the yoga, because you're vegan yoga mama. So, how did you get into the yoga?
So I got into yoga, like, a really, really long time ago. Actually, I got into yoga, like, before I was vegan. I've been practicing yoga for, like, I don't know, probably 15 years or so. And it's really funny because yoga really is vegan. Like, one of the things that really made me want to be vegan was this book, like, Yoga and Veganism. And, like, I did a teacher training. And, like, so it's a 200-hour training so I can teach classes. And I did that a few years ago. And, like, there was a very brief mention of veganism in the training. And it was kind of like, oh, sometimes, like, you know, yoga teachers are vegan. And that was, like, it. But, like, really, the practice is so vegan because ahimsa is, like, you know, nonviolence is everything about the what we have to do, you know, like, there's, like, the niyamas and the yamas, which are, like, the teachings and the guides and the principles for how you run your life as a yogi. So, like, non-stealing, non-violence, even just, like, violating somebody, like, those things are going against all of the teachings and all of the practices that you're supposed to have to be a yogi. So, like, yeah, you do, like, stretches and you do breathing on your mat, but really the practice is, like, when you leave and you go into your life and what you're doing. How you're eating is one of the biggest spiritual connections to the planet that you have every single day. So it's kind of brushed over in a lot of the practice, you know, again, because people just don't want to like turn people off and make people uncomfortable to have these really important conversations. But so like, I still teach yoga. Mostly I'm substituting now at like an eating disorder clinic. Most of the time, like if you're seeing me do yoga, it's just like me putting music on and just like doing my own thing for myself so that I don't like practice, you know, senseless violence. because it's just crazy out there. But yeah, the yoga practice is really like kind of just been a way for me to cope with a lot of things in my life. And I think it's really important to stress that that practice is vegan and it's really brushed over. It's really, there was one other, I'm going to call her plant-based. I love her dearly, but she's like, to me, if you're not focused on the animals, you're not vegan. And she's not, she's focused on her health and her diet. And so she's plant-based. So she doesn't eat animal products, but I mean, doesn't, you know, I think like the animal rights activism turns her off to the movement. Sure. I think, you know, it's safe to say, because I've heard her say, I don't want to be one of those vegans.
Nobody like, wants to be one of those vegans.
Right. Well, I do. Because like, I mean, I just feel like I really genuinely feel like it's such an injustice that being silent about it is an injustice itself. I can't. And I've always been that way about like whatever it is that's been going on. I feel like if I knew like the truth sooner, I would have felt the same way about the animals. I just didn't know. Like I really thought like I needed to eat meat or I was going to die. And like, you know, going through the training, reading that book, meeting that girl who wasn't eating animals and like, you know, and like being like in a weekend training, like alongside her kind of eating the same things, being like, oh, I can live like this, you know, like I'm happy and I'm satiated. Yeah. And like, and then I did the plant-based nutrition certification online from Cornell. Mostly because like I have my kids and I really wanted to make sure that I could like transition all of us healthfully. And, you know, so I think at first I was kind of motivated also by my own health. But then once I was enlightened about what happened with the animals, it was like over. And I do want to be that kind of vegan now. Because I think that's really just like something that people say so that they can continue to like, you know, have cognitive dissonance and willful ignorance, you know?
So. Awesome. Yeah. So the book that you mentioned there, Yoga and Veganism. Sharon Gannon.
Diet of Enlightenment is called and she just kind of goes through, like I said, there's like these 10 like kind of practices that you're supposed to take with you throughout, you know, like your day and your life in order to reach enlightenment. And so like they basically are all vegan. Like you can't be nonviolent and be eating animals, you know. You can't be non-stealing and taking somebody's baby's away from them for their milk, you know.
Absolutely. And our guest Chloe mentioned that her moment of enlightenment was while she was in a yoga pose, and I can't remember which one. Shavasana.
That's the one at the end when you're just kind of like lay there and like everything actually supposed to be like when everything absorbs into you from the practice.
That's it. And she laid there and thought, I can't be still eating animals and their other products and be at one with, you know, following yoga properly kind of thing. So
I think
that was the moment for her.
Yeah, I think it does have that aha moment. I think, I mean, you know, I like to, for me, I guess there were a lot of moments that led me up to like sitting down one day and watching Earthlings and Dominion and just being like, oh my God, I'm never participating in this again. But like, yeah, it started, like, I think I read the book after that because I think I already knew I had to be vegan. And then I was like, oh, wait, look at this. This is so true. You know, like, oh, how did I miss this? Why isn't that required reading in yoga teacher training? Mm-hmm. You know, because we do have required reading and you have to read a book about the yamas and the niyamas, not about how to apply them into, I mean, it's supposed to say how to apply them to your life, but it's not like it has to be through veganism.
Yeah. So this seems like a good enough point.
I was just saying exactly the same thing.
Tell us your vegan story then, Lauren. How did we get here?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, really, like, there just were a lot of things in my life. Like, I went through phases where I was, like, grossed out by certain things, or, like, you know, I went through phases where I, like, didn't eat certain things, and I always kind of, like, knew something was up. I never really enjoyed the, like, you know, fishing and hunting part of growing up. I remember one time, like, sitting on the boat, and I woke up from, like, a nap, and my dad and my brother were picking a hook out of my toe that they had gotten, and I was like, that really hurt. And it just was kind of like, you know, oh, I don't like this. So I kind of just was like, okay, but I did what I was brainwashed. I did what I was thinking I had to do. And then I guess I watched The Game Changers and just really was like, oh man, like, I don't need to eat animals. So I went vegetarian for like a while, and I started to feel really good at first, and I was like, oh, this is cool. And I remember saying, like, oh, you know, like, I could never live without cheese. But then I realized, like, I wasn't even eating cheese. I'd been making my own, like, vegan recipes, and I was like, that's so stupid. I'm a cognitive behavioral therapist. Like, everything is about changing your script, and this is just a script that I've memorized and always said, you know.
Wow.
And so, like, all those things kind of happen, and then I was like flipping through Instagram, and I saw that Don't Eat the Homies brand one day, and she was like sitting in the chair with her dog, and she was like, dude, you know, like, you don't eat dogs, like, what's the matter with you? And I was like, holy shit, I don't eat dogs. What's the matter with me? I don't eat tea. So it was kind of like all these things just together. I hadn't eaten meat. I don't know why I didn't get the, like, vegan message from that movie, because, like, now I think about it, I'm like, milk is just, or, you know, or cheese is just liquid meat. I mean, I didn't drink milk ever, but I would eat cheese, and I wouldn't, like, actively read an ingredient list and be like, oh, there's, you know, milk powder in this, goodbye, you know?
Yeah.
So that wasn't until I found out, I'd started following all these creators, I guess, because I was trying to cook more things, and I became a little more aware of the animal and the fact that there were those movies. And one day I sat down and I watched Earthlings and Dominion in one day, and my husband came home and I said, we're vegan in this house now. Like, we are not eating animal products anymore, starting immediately.
Wow.
And he was kind of like, whatever. Okay. but I love to cook, and I was like, you know, just into it. So he's really happy. I mean, I think after that happened, like, he might've eaten, you know, animal products, like, maybe 2 times on his own, like, with coworkers at lunch here and there. And the second time he did it, he was just like, I never want to do this again. I hate the way it feels. I hate what I'm eating. So he's also vegan. And so are our kids. But man, it's so hard with the kids, because, like, the baby was easy. The older son, and I said to him, he's 9 now, and I said to him, like, he was like 7. And I just said, Mom made a mistake, and I thought we needed to do this, and I was wrong, and there's a different way, and we're going to try this way that doesn't hurt animals, or, you know, instead of doing what we've been doing that hurts them. And he was like, all right. He just didn't even care. But the thing that's so hard is the adults around him. Like, that I picked him up from school last week, and he had a ring pop in his mouth. Like, the substitute teacher gave him gelatin, and she doesn't know. Oh, I mean, they just, like, no. You know, he's in 4th grade, and he doesn't think to say what's, you know, he's just thinking, oh, yeah. My substitute brought us ring pop. So, and I know we don't live in a perfect world, but, like, that's what makes it the hardest for me to raise my kids, honestly, is that I have to be around all these adults who want to choose to live a lie. Like, you know, even with my preschooler, they'll be like, how can we include him in the cooking lesson we're going to have instead of using eggs? And I'm like, well, you could just use applesauce. I'll even bring you applesauce. Like, I even offered to buy it and keep it in the class. And they're just like, oh, I don't know if we can do that. It's like, why are you even asking me then? You know, like, and I'm like, if one kid comes into this class and they're allergic to, you know, peanuts or cheese or milk, they're gonna act like high red alert, you know. And they're gonna, and they're, if a kid's allergic to peanuts, they can't even bring it into the whole flipping school, you know. It's like, we're allergic to being cruel. If you ask these preschoolers, we're gonna teach you how to cook today, we either have to blend up this little baby chick alive, or we could just use an applesauce. What do you think they would choose? Like, what are you doing? You know, like, we're the adults, and we're supposed to be the ones who are willing to do this, but we can't, because you won't have the hard conversation that makes you uncomfy because you don't want to change your habits. It's so frustrating. Like, yeah. That's really what makes this hardest for me, is that I have to like tiptoe around adults and their comfortable zones, you know, but yeah, it's for the truth with people who claim to value the truth. Like, you know, they just don't.
So do you think that's the hardest struggle that you've had, is that like trying to just get a thing through at school and those sorts absolutely. Of conversations?
It's one thing after another. I was like, I signed my son up for cooking camp and we couldn't really do that. And I said, it's like everything like poses an issue. I mean, it's everywhere. He goes to a birthday party, I have to pack him his own, you know, cupcake to bring, you know?
Like, wow.
It's just like, I mean, I treat it like an allergy, and it's cool, you know, I think in a way, because it makes the other people aware, like he's still there, he's still enjoying himself, he's still participating, you know.
Yeah.
But like, they're just kind of like, why don't you just do this, you know?
Yeah. In my Monday to Friday job, we support new and expectant families, mums and dads, you know, pregnant women and stuff. And I was talking to the infant feeding team today, or a lady that works on there, and she was saying about, she was asking me about veganism and this, that, and the other. We were having a conversation. And she was saying how they've got a family that was struggling to breastfeed through a tongue tie, and they were trying to use formula, but all the formulas that were out there had milk in. And apparently, get this, I don't know what it's like in the US, but something in most of the formulas over here that's not in the ingredients is ground up fish eyes.
Fish eyes?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't get it. I don't know if that's, well, I'm going on what this lady told me today, but I was like, why are they putting ground up fish eyes in formula and they're not telling anybody?
Every little bit. Is there like omegas in it that they're trying to get the baby or something? I don't know. Are there omegas in eyes? That's disgusting.
Who knows? It was just bizarre.
That is bizarre. Yeah, I mean, some of the things I've learned about, like, in some of the cereal here, they use like vitamin D. It's from lanolin, so they're using like sheep, like subcretious oils in your kid's cereal.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like here we are. We're having shooting drills like in school, but we can, and then we're feeding them carcinogenic bacon for lunch with like, you know, the. Here's a perfect example of how frustrating it is. My fourth grader, like, because they really don't have vegan options, like, consistently at school for him if we don't pack a lunch. So we pack a lunch, and like, I remember like saying to them, I just want to make it so that he has the option if he were to buy lunch one day. Let's say you have a black bean burger that day and he wants it, right? Because that's like the only vegan option they have, and they have it occasionally, and that he could get a soy milk. And she was like, oh, okay, yeah, we can do that. You need a note from the doctor to get your kid soy milk. Mind you, like 3 out of 4 humans are lactose intolerant. So here we are feeding, we need a note to give our kids a food that we know that they're probably not allergic to. And we're handing over something, you know, that we know that's killing them, and giving them asthma and giving them, you know, diabetes and making them fat and giving us cancer. It's just like mind blowing. And the parents are just like, well, it tastes good, so I don't care if there's any other, you know, information to the contrary. I don't want to see that. You know, it's like, what are you doing here? But I feel like I'm here to fix this and change it. And so like, I just like, I don't know. I can't help it. I have to shout.
Yeah, you go for it.
Yeah. You know, like, and I don't know. I don't, like, when trolls troll, like, I recognize that they're just reflecting themselves. Like, it's almost like if you want to hear somebody become, like, who they really are, like, a whole, like, say the word vegan to them, and they'll tell you exactly who they are. It's like you're holding a mirror up to their face. And they'll tell you everything that they see. So really don't personalize any of that. Like, a lot of the times, even like, I don't even like look at their profile. Like, I don't even want to have a picture of the face. Like, to me, you know what I'm saying? I don't want them to have energy out of my life and be like a personal thing. That to me, like, every bacon troll is the same. They're just like a, you know, like, person sitting there eating gross food, you know, taking medicine every day, like saying, but you need bacon, like, you know, or, you know, or you need gains or something. Today, this guy was like one word gains. And I was like, well, you know, just because you're incompetent at like nutrition doesn't mean that you should be able to abuse somebody else. Like, there's plenty of vegan bodybuilders. Yeah. And I was like, do you ask elephants and rhinoceroses, you know, and like gorillas where they get protein? Are you just like certain that they will tear you right up, you know? Because like, they're just not thinking. Like the crop deaths thing that's going around, I mean, what do you think, what do they think those animals are eating? They're not thinking about that. But the thing that frustrates me so much is when you're like, give them basic facts, they still won't like take them and acknowledge them. No. And so, because the confirmation bias exists and they'll stick to that instead. And that's really, I think, one of the other thing that's so challenging about the movement. And also like, yes, ex-vegans or whatever that, I mean, you know, plant-based dieters who once, you know,
went vegan for a week and nearly died.
Well, that, yeah, exactly. How come no vegans know any but vegans that almost died, right? Nope. And how come, like, you know, today this guy was like, I don't want, same thing, the same guy who was, at first it was gains, and then when I dispelled that, it was something else, and then it was something else, you know, and then it run you around, and it was like, oh, I don't need to be, like, nutrient deficient, and I'm like, yeah, well, you know, we're not, like, none of the vegans I know are nutrient deficient. I'm like, who's in the hospital? Cancer, diabetes, heart disease, dementia, all caused by eating animals, all reversed by eating plants. Like, sit down. What are you doing? You know, like, people just don't know. They think, like, you know, this one argument they've been holding on to for, you know, their whole life, where it's like, I think most vegan activists are pretty much invested in the topic on a regular basis. So we're really well educated, usually, on pretty much any argument, and we've been through them ourselves, which is why we're vegan probably, because I can't find a reason why they're validated, you know, why they would be validated.
So you get food that's accidentally vegan, but you don't get people who are accidentally vegan.
Right.
I've got an update on fish in baby milk.
Oh yeah, what does that
say? I've just been googling while you're talking. So it's to do with DHA, which is a hold on a second. It's a basically an omega-3 fatty acid, which helps with brain development.
But why can't they just use like flax or like, you know, like chia or you know, like
So it says it can be obtained by fish oil and algal oil, which I'm assuming is algae, which is where the fish get it.
You can use algae, or spirulina or anything. I don't know if a baby can have that stuff.
But. So this is from the HIP Organic website, and they do, they're a baby formula company. So they say basically that they use fish oil because it's offcuts of fish that can't be, wouldn't be consumed otherwise. So it's not causing extra fish to be killed.
Except I don't really think that's true. I think that's greenwashing, don't you? Because how could it not create more demand for more bodies? But like, I see what you're saying. It's like trying, like the vitamin D, using every bit that they can to maximize profit. It's about their profit. It's not about us.
We've got this spare, what should we use? We've got this spare bit of fish, what should we do with it? Chuck it in that, be
right. Right. Yeah. I mean, if it's not fit for consumption, why does it matter if you mash it up and put it in your baby's milk? It's still not fit for consumption. Like, that's disgusting. Right. And the other thing is, think about all the parents who, the mothers who breastfeed their children. They're not giving them fish eyes in their breast milk.
No, that'd be weird if they were.
You'd be worried if they were, but they still do it. It's so weird.
Seriously. Yeah.
So there we go. I think if they wanted to use algae, they could use algae, couldn't they?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know,
it's going to be down to cost and profit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because that's what most things are down to.
Yeah. What they've always done and how they've always done it.
Yes.
You know, because troglodytes.
Exactly. So you mentioned your husband there and your kids as well. But what did your friends and wider family think about it when you went vegan?
So
especially your dad and your brothers who are fishermen.
I mean, you know, like my dad, like I think at first was like kind of, you know, like sending bacon jokes and stuff. Like he didn't understand. And I wasn't as passionate about the animal rights things in the beginning or as educated on how to like handle things like that probably, and now they know better than to say them. I mean, you know, like one of my brothers got really upset with me one day for just simply stating the fact that like being, you know, being vegan isn't about me or him, it's about the animals, and he was just like really pissed about that, you know. I mean, I think, you know, when people's livelihood depends on ignoring something, you know, that's what they're going to keep doing, unfortunately. I do feel like there's other people who have been, you know, made to think or influenced in some way or another by me, and that's who I chose to focus on. You know, like, and I'm okay with that. My friends, you know, like, I didn't want friends anymore. That's why I went vegan. What are you talking about?
Love it.
No, I mean, like, I just feel like I said, I have a couple friends that I consider still friends because they're like willing to have, see, this is what frustrates me. If you're calling it your personal choice, but you're not willing to like listen to what that means or like acknowledge it, or like if you're totally just going to shut me down, like I'm losing respect for you, you know? So I still have a couple friends who will like engage in honest, open, uncomfortable conversations. And so I still respect them, right? Like even if they're not vegan. But as far as like new relationships, like I said, I'm like, I do not accept new friends that aren't vegan, but I don't have to, because I've started to connect with like a couple groups of activists and a couple groups of people that I've met from the farm sanctuary that's nearby that I can like volunteer at. And so I've made some friendships there, and they're all vegan. And so like, yeah, those are like the new friends that I want.
Yeah, why not?
Fair you know, like people who I don't have to,
you know you're going to be safe with them.
Feel cringy around. Yeah, I feel cringy. I mean, I go to school and people are wearing Uggs and they have fur trim on their jacket, and I'm just like, and nobody can see it but me, and it's just so, it hurts, and I don't want to be around it if I don't have to, you know? So, yeah, so that, you know, I'm okay to like be at home and like not be as social if it means that it's gonna like create more peace for me.
Definitely.
So, but yeah, like most of my family, I mean, you know, my mom's pretty like open for the most part sometimes to conversations about it. We've had some heated discussions. She's made some changes, but I mean, I think, you know, you have to really like have a connection made, and I think a lot of people aren't, you know, willing to get themselves to that point, and that's where I get like frustrated. But I mean, it's like an evolution, you know. It took me a while, but now it's like I've been vegan for over 2 years, so it's like these people have been listening to me talk for 2 years, so how much more wild do they want, you know?
We've had that a few times we've had it a few times where people have said like all the conversations that you have, however many years it's been, and yet none of your close friends have gone vegan. It's you could get quite depressed about it, I think, couldn't you? But then we've all been there.
So since you went vegan then, did anything change when you transitioned?
Yeah. I feel like everything changed. I took off my, you know, lying goggles. I mean, I see the whole world differently now. I see everything differently. I see the way we use other animals and have no respect for basically anything. I feel like a lot of it's made me angry. Like there's just grief, you know, like, and like a lot of it's made me really passionate and like feel empowered to do something about it. But then like sometimes the like seeing the slow change gets frustrating. It's a roller coaster of emotions. I think it's done a lot of things for me. It's done a lot of good things for me, like health wise. I've never felt better, like physically, like, you know, like myself, like mentally or emotionally, except for having to, you know, kind of like, it's like telling somebody you found out like something so important and they like don't care, even though they like claim to care about important things, you know, and like doing all these things. So that's hard for me. But then like I meet other people, you know, who like see it too. And I meet more of them all the time. So that's really inspiring. I guess, you know, it's been a little over 2 years, and I've kind of like just started to make groups of vegan friends that don't just live in my phone. So like that is very good for me. I think, you know, gives me, so maybe that's part of it. Like, it's like, I went and did my first like street activism, if you will. Do you guys do that?
I haven't.
Okay. So like, I really, really, really want to do that more. But like, it was, we had like a technical issue, go figure. Not my fault. but like, we still ended up doing like a little bit of outreach with just like a sign, having a couple of interesting conversations with people. And it was just like a sign, like, you know, something about speciesism. I don't even remember exactly what it said, but most people don't know that word. So they would be like, well, what is that? And they'd stop to talk to us. And so that was kind of cool. And then we did a little protesting with the horse carriages around, and we like just kind of stood by where people were getting on the horse carriage ride with signs saying like, horses don't belong in city streets. Like, why are you doing this to them? Like, you know, and some of the protesters have gotten the horse carriages shut down in some of the big cities. So we talked about ways to like kind of elaborate on that. So, although you were asking before about friendships, I think like some of them have kind of like dissipated, but then like new ones have come in that are like-minded people who want to, you know, like, I don't know, like, I don't feel like I'm here to just do nothing. And like, you know, like, I feel like there's people who think they're here to make change, and the people who think that like that could never happen, you know, are just the people who don't do it. You know, they don't make anything happen. They don't even make their own change happen. So, yeah, it's made me like more motivated to make a better, maybe being a parent and, you know, having kids that, you know, depend on us to just you know, care. And I think that's part of it too. Like, you know, like you said, what made you vegan? There's so many things. Like, yeah, the animals really like was the thing, like seeing what happened to them from start to finish one time is all I needed to make my life change forever. But like when I sat down and like every single argument that I came up, you know, there's no planet for my kids. I can't not be vegan if I say I care about that. You know, I can't not be vegan if I say that I'm against, you know, females being abused or exploited. I can't, you know, I can't not be vegan if I say I'm against shooting. You know, they, I can't be, you know, I can't not be vegan if I say I'm against gas chambers, you know, like it's just simple things like that. You know, so there were just like so many things, but it all kind of came to me in that one day. And actually the scene in the movie, the like instant that I knew, like, you have to be vegan for the rest of your life, was witnessing kosher slaughter.
Oh, yeah.
Which is supposed to be, like, better for the animal, but it was not. You know, and I grew up Jewish, and, like, I think that's, like, that's something else, too. Like, I kind of feel like a lot of the people who are supposed to be spiritual leaders are more motivated by their selfish desires. I mean, like, I had a rabbi send me pictures of meat online the other day and say, I might feel better if I ate a veal, you know? And all I did was say, like, where in the Torah does it say that we should like impregnate cows and take their babies so we could have their milk? And he was like, you'd feel better if you ate a dead baby cow, and send me pictures of me. This is a rabbi. This is a person who's leading people spiritually in this world right now. And there's so many people behind him, and they love him. And because he condones what they want to do. They want to use their tradition. We've always done this, you know.
It's incredible.
You know, it's incredible. And I think I didn't know that person. Actually, there's one rabbi online who I found after going vegan, because we left our temple. Like I left organized religion. I was like, this is just so ridiculous. I can't believe it, because they'll be like, we have to repair the world for the kids and peace and love and be kind. And then they'd go into the lobby and like eat dairy. And I'm like, and then I would try to talk to them about it. And they would just be like, one of the moms one day was like, no. I'm like, you're acting like a toddler. Like, for the truth, you know, like, what are you people doing? So I left, and it was like, I told them about it. I mean, just to put it into perspective, like the other day, they're having a party at the temple that we left, and they're, celebrating a day that's supposed to be like the birthday for the trees, and it's your responsibility to like spread ecological awareness on this day.
Right.
And in order to commemorate it, I can't even say it without laughing.
I know where you're gonna go. This is ridiculous.
The rabbi is having a cheese board decorating class at her house. Like, dairy and beef are the same industry, and they are responsible for the most deforestation in the world. So the most cutting down of the trees, they're gonna buy products from that to celebrate ecological awareness on the birthday of the trees. And I was just like, oh my, I wrote the one of the people a letter, and I was just like, this is why we left, and this is why we will never come back. Because look at you. I don't know whose it's idea crazy. This was, but it's ridiculous and it's stupid and it's cruel.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's raped mother's breast milk, and here all you moms are standing around there like eating it. Like, what's the matter with you? You know, like, and she was just like, oh, it just must be so hard for you to, you know, have gotten to this place and everybody around you is just not ready to be there. I'm like, well, it doesn't really matter if you're ready to be there, because there's victims behind it. And not too long ago, we were those victims. Mm. So, you know, I was just kind of like, just, I mean, she was really like, I think handled it in a great way. Like, I mean, she could have been like that rabbi and said, eat some cheese, you know, and thank God she didn't do that. But, you know, she's one of those people that's like, I get it. I'm a vegetarian.
Yeah. This is, we had George Martin on, who is from Carnism Debunked.
And oh, sure.
One of the episodes on his podcast is by, the guest he had on was Alex Hirschar. You know that name?
Oh yeah, sure.
He was a Holocaust survivor, I believe.
Sure.
And he went into a slaughterhouse and realized that it was pretty much the same thing, and he was like, that's it, I've gone vegan. And that's it was like
it. That's madness. It. There's more too. There's another gentleman named Isaac Besheva Singer, who same kind of you know, he said the same thing, and he was they mark him as a vegetarian animal rights activist, but I don't know. I mean, he promoted like leaving animals off your plate. So, and their fluids and everything. I mean, it's not a new concept. It's just one that people don't want to talk about. No. So,
yeah.
I had this other friend that I used to work with that was the rabbi, and he was like, oh, I'd rather take a statin drug for the rest of my life every single day than stop eating chickens, you know? So it's and these people are supposed to be spiritual. Like, you're not spiritual. You're
and a role model.
And a role model. And that's what I said to that rabbi who sent me that stuff. I said, listen, like, injustice cannot go on forever. The question is, how long will you like support it, condone it, and like, you know, suggest it to the followers that you have? That's the real question. He went on a tirade, and here's what happened. I guess PETA put up a post like not too long ago saying like, please consider when you like order your chicken wings that like every two wings comes from a chicken, and they like love their family just as much as you do or whatever. And he's like this Nazi organization talking about that. I mean, because you know, people are controversial with PETA, but whatever, that's a whole separate issue. But like, he made this like video about it. So then the vegan rabbi who says like, if you read the Torah, then you say, you take into consideration, like, the next logical extension of this book is to be vegan. Like, you can't practice what this book says if you're not doing these things, right? So he's got it. So he went on and like responded to that other rabbi. Wow. So then people started defending both of them based on their stances, right? And it kind of like created this whole thing. And that was when that other rabbi sent me the meat pictures. Because I defended the vegan rabbi, and I said to him,
as if you don't know what meat looks like.
Well, yeah, I mean, exactly.
Why do they do that? We know what it is.
Well, I said to him, would you send a feminist like videos of somebody being sexually assaulted? You know, would you send like somebody who's, you know, like trying to like fight for like equal rights and justice for people of color, like videos of police brutality? Because it's the same exact thinking and oppression, you know, like oppressive thinking that you're doing. I mean, people dug more into the story, and it turns out, I think that it wasn't just me, like he deleted comments from a whole bunch of people who were like, dude, you're wrong. Like, this other rabbi's right, you know? And so people like confronted him, and that was when he got really vicious.
Wow.
But I know somebody told me she's going to make a donation in his name to PETA, so they're going to send him a calendar. Which is so funny, because that's what started the whole thing, was him standing up about how much he hated them, making a donation to PETA in his name, and he'll get a calendar in the mail. So
that's fantastic.
So yeah, I mean, you know, people are just crazy. It's like the mirror, I held it up to him.
Yeah. So this is a bit of a bingo question, because it's something that we get asked, or that vegans get asked fairly frequently.
Sure.
Where do you get your protein and other nutrients?
My protein. Oh, where do I get my protein? Tofu, tempeh, lentils, seitan, chickpeas, but a wheat gluten, pasta, nuts, seeds, grains, fruits, veggies. Where don't I get my protein? Everything has protein.
You're making it sound like it's really easy to get protein.
I get my protein where animals get their protein from. I just don't eat it secondhand and like recycle it through somebody else's digestive system and pain and torture and death and suffering first. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's another thing too. Like, I circle back to that as a mental health therapist. Like, people are coming to talk to me because they're stressed and they're anxious. They're eating cortisol 3 times a day from somebody else's stress hormone. Like, no shit, you feel like shit. You're eating shit. Like, yeah. Like it's you are what you eat.
And that might be the title for this episode. No shit. You're feeling shit. You're eating shit.
And that's so perfect. You know, that's so perfect. I mean, on a cellular level, you are. And you can fix it in like 48 hours. I mean, you can really turn it around so quickly. And it's just like, you know, like I said, I went and I got that plant-based nutrition certification because I wanted to like make sure that I was going to be healthy and, you know, doing it. I mean, rice and beans is a perfect, there you go. Have rice and beans, put some avocado on it. You know, you're all set. Complete protein.
There you go.
Yeah.
Cool. So, in your own personal life, what's the best thing about being vegan?
In my own personal life, the best thing about vegan is just knowing that every day my morals and my actions are aligned. Like, I am living and imbibing the things that I say I care about. I, you know, am who and what I say I am. I'm honest. I'm, you know, aware. I'm conscious. I make choices that don't cause harm instead of like ignoring or avoiding or pretending like I'm not. You know, and for me, that's just the best. I'm honest with my kids. I'm not lying to them about, you know, who is being seriously hurt and killed to get to their plate, which is what happened to me. I didn't get a choice. You know, I feel like I'm making a choice. Like people always say that it's their personal choice, but like, no, it's not, because you don't have all of the information and you can't make a choice without it. Like you have to know everything to really decide anything. And I feel, you know, I do sometimes I get mad that like I didn't get that choice. I mean, I know my parents were like doing the best they could, but then I also kind of think like, were they? Because they've seen and heard me talk about it for 2 years and have a family of four thrive with it. So, you know, they're still not making the choice to do better, even though they know it's possible. So I think people just freaking do what they want. And like, I've always just wanted to be somebody who like really was like aligned. That's important to me. Congruency, alignment, you know, ahimsa, nonviolence, the truth, you know, those things are really important to me. And like, I am them, you know, so I feel better. I have more energy.
You can do a handstand.
I can do a hit. Yeah, I'm working on the handstands. I've got the headstands. I do headstand pretty good. Yeah, handstands, I can do them, but like, I kind of like, you know, I need the wall there. I'm not, but I mean, it's a work in progress, right? So yeah, I mean, sometimes you just have to like flip your perspective so you can like, you know, look at things differently because it's messed up.
That's when you're doing the headstand, is it?
Yeah, I do headstand like pretty much every night. Like
that helps you flip your perspective.
Yeah, just like honestly, like it's like my after. I do it after dinner every night, which is so funny because like when I was eating, you know, like a standard American diet, like I could have never done something like that. I would have thrown up everywhere. But now it's like I eat dinner and like I do the dishes and I go upstairs and I like, you know, do like a minute or so of like headstand. Like to me, it's like a stretch. Like I feel stretchy and it just feels really good and kind of like the seal of the day. And I started like trying to put like either like I put like a quote about morals and ethics, or like now I'm starting to put more like animal agriculture like facts that people wouldn't normally know. So and I like put music to it. So I think people watch me. I mean, they may hate me, but listen, they're peeping my stuff, my show, you know.
Yeah, and one day they'll see something and think, oh, that's it.
Oh my gosh, one can hope. That's, I mean, that's it. You know, like even, and I'll say that, like I'll say things like, I don't even know what to say. So I'm just like screaming this out in the void and hoping you'll look at yourself in the mirror and be like, what the fuck am I doing? You know, like I say shit like that because I don't care, because it's not about me and it's not about them. It's about the animals. And there's so many of them then like every second of every day. And they just need us to do whatever we can. Like to me, it's like, being vegan is the moral baseline, because like just walking around and not hurting others is moral, is just the bare minimum for anybody who claims to be a moral member of any society. You know, there's no necessity, there's no medical condition, there's no nothing that requires flesh or secretions from somebody else's body for health and wellness. If you aren't sure about that, there's like free online dietitians that will help you like figure it out, like at challenge22.com. And I mean, there's so many other places. Like reach out to any vegan, you know, they'll help you connect to it if you're listening to this and you want to know. But there's no reason, there's no justification, there's no need, you know. I've never tasted such good food. I've never cooked so well. I'm not missing anything. Like I don't, you know, people are like, oh, you miss it. No, we're choosing not to participate in that every single day over and over. We don't miss anything. We don't want that at all. It's good. It's not food. The same way that you don't eat your dog or cat is how we don't eat any other animal. You know, we're just fine. 100%. So, yeah.
So, other than not eating your dog and cat, what's your favorite vegan product at the moment?
What's my favorite vegan product at the moment? I have so many. I don't know. Last night I made a really good white chicken chili that was like really yum. So I'm gonna post that recipe tonight, I think. I use the dare. Do you guys have Daring chicken there? It's like for the frozen vegan chicken strips.
No,
it's a brand that we have.
How do you spell that?
D-A-R-I-N-G. Oh, and they have like lemon, and they have breaded, and they have Cajun, and they have plain. And like, I use it for my pot pies. I use it for like my chicken chili. I use it for like, I like soy curls. I mean, I don't know if I have a favorite. I can't pick one. There's 80,000 edible plants. What are you talking about? What's my favorite? I like them all. That's the good news. I mean, the healthiest way to eat is to have a variety of them as much as you can, like colors. And I love this like goddess salad I make very often. That's just basically, it's just cabbage and cucumber and scallion, and that's it really. I mean, I put other, my husband's like, can you please put more things in here? And I'm like, but it's so good. It's the dressing is like delicious. It's like a basil-y, lemony situation. So yeah, I'm just like, I don't know. I make like a really good, I guess we have different grocery stores. So like some of the things, one of the things I want to get more into this year is like making my own like meat, my own wheat meat, like making, you know, using more like Vital Wheat gluten to make your own like seitan and stuff rather than like buying the store-bought stuff. But some of it, you know, but I mean, I have kids and it's like, we live in a real world and sometimes you just have to get frozen things. Right. One of my favorite things to make is like, they're like, I use chickpea flour and I make like crunchy kind of like chickpea chicken patties, if you will, that remind me like a lot of like, I spent a lot of time in Israel when I was younger. Like I lived there for a couple months and we used to go eat like this schnitzel, which is like a chicken kind of paillard, like a flattened chicken fried breast thing. And it just reminded me of that. And I put like hummus and like an Israeli salad on it. I don't know. It just takes me back. So I make that a lot. I've been making a vegan challah a lot. I love to take like the traditional foods that the people I know around me are like continuing to like justify their use of animal products to make and then make them vegan just to like prove it can be done and to show them. And I post the recipe reels and I post the pictures. I'm like, you don't have to hurt somebody to value, you know, to honor your traditions, and actually doing so is kind of ridiculous, you know.
What advice would you give to anyone that comes up to you and says, Lauren, I want to go vegan, what do I do?
Oh, that's such a good question. Like, I think for me, the biggest thing was just really, like, I just made it a point to take one meal at a time. Like, I was like, okay, like, I'm just not gonna, you know, eat animal products, for breakfast right now. And then I'm going to turn around and eat lunch and there won't be animal bread. And I just kind of like focused on one meal at a time. Really genuinely 100% believe you need to focus on the animals. If you want to know, I think you should watch Dominion. I think you should watch Earthlings. You maybe not both if you can't handle it, but you need to watch one or the other. And you need to understand what it is that, you know, you would be participating in, and not think about yourself, but to think about the victims behind your choices. And then, like, you know, to just recognize that sentience, you know, they don't want to die for us. We don't need to kill them, and we can enjoy everything and still have everything that we've wanted. You know, my biggest suggestion is to not try to reinvent the wheel. Like, look up the food you already like. Let's say your family loves like chicken parmesan. Mm. So go to Google and be like, vegan chicken parmesan, and find a recipe for that. And like, find, you know, maybe try a couple until you find one that you really like, and then let that be your recipe. Like, if you like shepherd's pie, vegan shepherd's pie, you know, just go revamp what you're eating and learn how to replace ingredients with ingredients that don't exploit and harm and abuse and torment and kill innocent sentient beings. And just know that, like, if you stop demanding it, like, none of them have to suffer because of you anymore. And that demand, you know, will continue to create less of them to be hurt. And it's a good feeling, you know, like, don't think about yourself and what you're giving up, because somebody else's life and body isn't yours to take, you know?
Definitely.
So.
Great show. Yep. I like that. Okie dokie. So who is your vegan inspiration?
Oh gosh. My vegan inspiration. I mean, honestly, it's myself, because like nobody else can make you make this choice or like want to do this. I mean,
I like that.
I mean, yeah. It's not something like people say, you know, you're forcing your lifestyle, but no, like it's not. Like, I'm inspired to do this for me, for the animals, for other people. I mean, I definitely have like a support system. Like, I have a couple of friends online that like a couple girlfriends where like when we're like really, you know, just like annoyed about like just things, we'll vent to each other. So I have a good support system and they inspire me too. You know, just seeing other people out there creating content and spreading the message. I think there's so many people that really inspire me.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's like one in particular. Like I said, that message from Don't Eat the Homies really kind of resonated with me just like in the beginning. You know that brand, Don't Eat the Homies? And I have like a couple of articles of clothing from them, which I love to wear when I go out, because it always strikes up conversation. I almost always wear it to the grocery store. And so that's always really funny. I love to wear my vegan activism. And so that inspires me, you know, that this girl just kind of started with her own line saying like, oh, she made her own sweater one day. And now she's like opening a storefront in LA, you know, and like selling out things online and stuff. It's just crazy.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah. So that's inspiring to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then just like seeing some of these like people with their food, you know, they're just so creative. Like, you know, to see somebody make like salmon out of a piece of tofu, or like a turkey roast out of some jackfruit or something like that. Like, that just inspires me. So there's endless possibilities.
Mm.
Cool.
Yeah.
So we did products, your favorite products. Do you have like a favorite like restaurant or venue that you take your family to or that you like going
to? That's a good question. So there's a really good place here. It's not 100% vegan, but it's a sushi restaurant and they have a very significant vegan menu. And they also use a separate deep fryer for vegan food, which I love. And then staff is all really knowledgeable. And like, obviously I would only go sit at a table with vegans there,
obviously,
but yeah. I've been there a couple of times and that's been like a really, really good experience. It's called Blue Sushi Saki and it's a chain restaurant. There's a couple of them in the US. There's another really cute little place called Enjoy around here. That's like, you know, bowls and wraps and like, but then they have like lasagna and like, just like smoothies and juices. And that's a cute little place. They've closed a couple of like all vegan restaurants recently, which is just so heartbreaking. It's a pretty spread out city. There's this other place we love called the Tree Hugger Truck, but it's about a 45 minute drive each way. But sometimes we go. Yeah. Even my little one is like, he's almost 4 and he'll be like, can we go to the place where you go and they give you mac and cheese? And he loves it. You know, I'm like, what about my mac and cheese? So, and they have things like a Reuben and like, fish tacos and just everything is plant-based and delicious. Vegan, I should say. It's all vegan. So that place is really good, the Tree Hugger. And then there's little things here and there kind of starting to pop up. Like they're opening a new place that looks kind of cool for ramen right down the street that has like a gorgeous vegan menu. I was like, oh my God, this place looks amazing. We're going to go here all the time. You know, and I mean, I think it's pretty simple. Like when my husband and I want to go out on a date, we'll just go online and either like use the Happy Cow app going to like an Asian restaurant or like an Indian restaurant or like a Middle Eastern restaurant. Any of those places are always going to have like easy vegan options, you know, be accommodating. I mean, we've had some really cool experiences here. There's this kind of fancy Italian restaurant and they don't even offer a vegan item on the menu, but we saw something that somebody posted in the Vegan Kansas City page and they were like, oh, we called ahead and he made her like a meal. So we did the same thing for like a special occasion and the owner of the restaurant made us this like really gourmet like 5-course meal and he came out and he like introduced the courses to it was one of the best like squash salads I ever had. I was like, oh my God, the lady at the table next to us was like, what is she eating, you know, to like her waiter. He's like, you know, lady, I don't know, I've worked here for 9 years, I've never seen that before, you know. So like felt like a princess. It was like our anniversary too, so it was so cool. So, you know, I think you just have to like ask, you know, we've called restaurants before and been like, we want to come celebrate a special occasion, can you offer us something that's totally vegan, are you educated on this, you know. I mean, obviously I'd rather not have to like educate people. I do think it's kind of pathetic at this point that like there are restaurants that we literally do not even go to at all because they can't make anything here. I can make a gourmet meal in my kitchen every day almost. So it's just kind of like,
they just don't want to.
Yeah. I mean, and it would be so simple. I mean, they already have, you know, a lot of the ingredients, but there are places that are starting to, just the fact that like, my father-in-law says the word vegan, you know, it's like a huge thing. It's a step in the direction. Last time he came to visit, he's like, I'm not going to have any discussions with you about this. I was like, oh, okay. And then immediately he proceeded to start to talk to me about it. I'm like, listen, you're doing it, dude, you know, but, but we still love each other and respect each other. Yeah. But he did admit to me, like, there's literally no reason that isn't self-centered to continue to consume, you know, animal products. So that was a huge victory, you know, just the fact that that's what I'm saying. If you want to do it, own it. Like, it's rude. I mean, it's cruel and it's violent and it's abusive. And that's your choice. If that's what's your choice, then own it. This is who you are, your choices, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. So do you have hope for our future? Or for the future?
I do. I mean, I know sometimes I seem really like, cynical, but I do have hope because I changed. And like, you know, I mean, almost everybody I know who's vegan changed. Like, we're all indoctrinated into the same shit. And, you know, people break out of it and they see it and they, you know, and they want to fix it. And I think that's hopeful. You know, my kids give me hope sometimes. I mean, then their friends come by and they're like, well, plants feel pain, you know. I'm like, you know, we're already dealing with this and they're nine. Where did a nine-year-old hear that? Like, are my friends, their mothers saying that to them? I can't imagine that. But like, what I said to them, I'm like, are you telling me that you think it would be the same to cut a carrot and to cut Rico, which is his dog? And he was like, no. And I was like, okay,
yeah,
let's remember that next time you want to say that, you know. So I think they just need the perspective, and it's like, you know, to teach yourself to unsee things. So you have to want to do that, but it's worth it, you know? I mean, I think people would have thought fighting against slavery or, you know, segregation or suffrage or any other, you know, gay rights or any other injustice that has had progress, you know, people were met with resistance.
Yeah, and injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, isn't it?
So, it is. And this one is extra challenging because the victims don't have a voice. So then people hear our voice and then they make it about us and them. And that's where I think there's a challenge too. But, you know, like my father-in-law was like, why don't you like just post recipes and stuff? And I was like, because it's not a diet and it's not like, I'm like, and being and seeing pretty food is not what makes people vegan. It's learning about the injustice and wanting to discontinue their participation in it. And I don't want people to like, just not do that on Mondays. I want them to just choose not to do that forever. So I don't want it to just be about the food. Like, I will give you recipes because it's easy and it's delicious and there's no reason not to, but that's not what it's about. And so that's why I need to be gross and crude, because your choices are gross and crude. It's you who's actually gross and crude. I'm just telling you the truth about them, you know?
Wow, yeah.
So, that's I'm good at that, you know, flip around, because all my mental health training with my therapist work is paying off, so.
That's good, and that's what some people need, isn't it? Some people need to watch the animal, you know, animals in a slaughterhouse. Some people need the face-to-face chat. Some people just need to, I don't know, watch, like, for me, it was Cowspiracy or What the Health, that sort of thing.
Yes. It's too. I love that.
Many, many different angles that we need to take, really, isn't it, to get everybody.
Yeah, there's a new one that's come out, like, I Could Never Go Vegan or something. I think it's just being released, or the previews just come out or something. And it looks kind of interesting, too, because we've all said that before, didn't we? It was a week before I went vegan. So
someone said that to me yesterday at work. She said, oh, I could never go vegan. I said, I said that about 6 weeks before I went vegan.
Yeah, we all did. Yeah.
When Wes went vegan and my wife told me that he'd gone vegan, I went, oh, I could never go vegan.
Oh,
how
sure.
is he vegan? He watched a movie. Right, well, I'm going to watch it as well.
So it was the same movie?
Vegan too. Yeah.
Cowspiracy. Did you ever watch Earthlings or Dominion?
I haven't watched either of them. I watched Cowspiracy, and then Cowspiracy Game Changers. Joey Carbstrong's milk video.
Oh, I've never seen that.
It's about 20 minutes long. It's horrible.
Okay.
It's really gross out. And then Seaspiracy. I watched that last year. But it was Cowspiracy. Oh, my wife was watching it, and I was like, yeah, I ain't watching this crap. And then by the end, I was like, what's this? Yeah, that's me done. And I went to bed that night, woke up the next morning, and that was me done.
And that was it. I know, that's what happens, you know, when people change, it's instant. But then why are there other people who just don't change? Like, how could you be seeing everything I posted for 2 years and then post, like, a picture of fish yesterday? You know? Like, what is the matter with you? Or, like, you know... It's just crazy. I don't know.
Yep.
And then to call yourself an empath, like, no.
Ha. Yeah.
Sorry. No.
Yeah.
I challenge that.
Brilliant.
Well, we've come to the end. So thank you so, so much for, accepting the invitation to come on. You've been an absolute star.
Oh, thank you so much. It's so fun. It's been so fun to talk to both of you all the way across the pond.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much, Lauren. It's been really great. And we'll look forward to seeing some more of your output on. I just found you on TikTok yesterday. Oh, so
yes,
popping up on my feed. So yeah.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. So stay tuned. You'll see the white chicken chili later.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. Excellent. Cool. Thank you ever so much. And I shall speak to you later. Take care yourself.
Okay. Take care. Bye. Bye.
Cheers. Bye. Ah, she was a great guest. Well done.
Did I do it? Did it a second time? Yes.
Two in a row. Two for two. Very good. Excellent.
Yeah, she was awesome.
Yeah. Really good. So knowledgeable as well. It's really fantastic. So she mentioned a film that's due for release called I Could Never Go Vegan.
Yes.
Which I've just looked up. I hadn't heard of it before.
Yeah, I've seen a poster or a brief trailer, maybe on social media adverts or something, I'm not sure.
Okie dokes. All right, so we'll keep a lookout for that. I did send them a message to say, would you like to come on to promote the movie? Because you know what? You don't ask. Yeah, you don't get if you don't ask. That's it. I was going to say you don't score any of the shots that you don't take. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
that still works.
Awesome.
Wow.
Good. All right. So this is great timing. We've.
Go on.
Go on. No, go for it. Go.
I have to rename the files as they go in, as they say. And
okay.
Was this episode 30?
It absolutely was. The big 3-0.
Big 3-0. Soon we're like middle-aged than that. Middle-aged podcast. But yeah, I was like, 30, Jesus. Who'd have thought that?
Yeah.
I didn't think we'd make 10.
Nope. Oh, I wasn't convinced. When we first started off, I was like, well, you and I will come on. That's one episode. We'll strong arm our wives into it. Well, your wife came on and mine didn't.
Yeah.
And then we convinced Josh as well, who's your son. And then I was like, well, anybody after that is going to be like a bit of begging, really, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
But we've done it. People have generally been happy to come on.
Yeah.
There's only a couple of times people have said thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah. And the people that have come on have said they've enjoyed it.
Yep, and they've been great.
Whether they're just being nice, who knows?
Doesn't matter, they're on. They've been on.
They've been on, and we've got the numbers.
Too late then, isn't it? Yeah, excellent. All right.
No, I enjoyed that. It was good. It was a good laugh. Love it. Great.
Yes, absolutely. I'll tell you what I would like is, I really would like people to get in touch, but also, if you think there's a question that we're not asking that you'd really love to know the answer to, please send it in and we'll ask it. Because we ask the same questions every episode because we think that they're the kind of key ones that people want to know. But if there's something that we're not asking, then please tell us.
Yeah.
And we'll ask it. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm up for that. Bit of evolution.
Yeah, absolutely. It's no...
Because we've said from the outset, we don't know what we're talking about.
No, it's all a load of bollocks, isn't it? So we're just making it up as we go. So
yeah. And obviously we went through focus groups and all sorts to get the questions that we asked. But obviously they can change. The focus groups were...
They can be leaned on, can't they? They can be influenced.
Yes. Focus groups had a number of two people in them, and it was just me and you. But
we weren't even that focused, were we?
No, not really.
We were watching TikTok at the time, so
So yeah, I completely agree with you. If anyone has got any questions they would like us to put in as a regular feature,
just a part of the pod. Go for it.
Or just just, and I know we always do this, but if you just want to send us a message, say, God, you guys are amazing. I'll tell you what we don't do. We don't do that thing that all of the podcasts do is like, subscribe, rate us on whichever platform you
are. Oh, yeah, we've never done that. Actually,
we've never done that. But let's start.
That might explain why no one's rated us.
Yeah, because we haven't told them to.
We haven't asked them to. Damn it.
So, like, comment, share, subscribe, rate us, leave us a review.
Tell your friends.
And tell all your friends. If they're vegan, and even better if they're not vegan, we might change
them. Yeah.
If you're struggling to change your friend to veganism, we might help. Probably won't. Most likely won't.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good one. Like, some adverts are like, do this and it will help. And we're like, yeah, we might help. But, you know, we're not making any promises. Let's put it like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you did want to do that, Matthew, what would people need to do?
Well, I think probably the easiest thing would be find us on social media.
Yeah, that would be pretty easy.
Yeah. And join our Facebook tribe. Or find us on Instagram or TikTok or Twitter or YouTube. Or if you want to do it the semi-old-fashioned way.
Yes. Yeah, semi-old-fashioned way. Send us an email at, don't put at, because that wouldn't work. But send us an email to howiveganpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to go really old school and send a letter, don't, because we haven't got addresses.
We're not...
We haven't got addresses and we haven't got a PO box.
Got addresses, but we haven't got a PO box, and we're not going to tell you where we live.
No. And you could send a letter, but it won't get to...
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Just an email or social medias. Crack on. Get on with it.
Yeah.
And help us evolve into something bigger and better.
Wow. I like the sound of that.
Check us
out. Fancy.
Cool. Cheers, guys. Thanks for listening. And we shall see you next time.
Yeah.
Along with my cough.
Oh, God.